Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Dr. Annie B. Wilder coming on the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show. I'm coming to say, hey, good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you out there in radio land? I know, hey, you're listening from all over. But let me give you just a little report for my area, because I know some are listening from so far away. Well, listen, we're happy this morning. We're so grateful this morning because we have rain. Yes, we had some rain. The news commentator said that, hey, we'll get rain off and on all day, but it still won't be enough to cover the depth of the drought that we've had, the dryness. But listen, we are grateful for what we have. And you know that old song, you know, when people when you start saying, rain, rain, go away, come again another day. Well, listen, I'm on my porch, and I'm saying, rain, rain, don't go away. Don't wait till another day, because everything around us was dry, and hey, the grass is all brown and my flowers all wilted. So I am so happy this morning that we have rain. All right, so I just wanted to give you a little update on what's going on in my neighborhood. Oh, so hey, once again, thank you so much for being with me. This is Dr. Annie B. Wilder coming on the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show, coming as I usually do on Monday to hopefully encourage your heart. Yeah, maybe even give some enlightenment, education, either way, whatever, out of the broadcast that you'll leave with something that refreshes your soul. That's my endeavor, and I've been doing it for a number of years now, and that is the report that I continue to get. So I'm grateful. Grateful to you for joining me. Grateful to God for providing this platform for us. And grateful to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, our Lord Jesus Christ, giving me a word and taking charge of my lips and delivering this word. So I know you're ready to get right on into it, and I'm going to move on, okay? But I had to give that report. So listen, I have a topic today, and my topic is waiting. Waiting, W-A-I-T-I-N-G, requires patience. Ah. Yes, there's a relationship there between being able to wait and having patience. Oh, yeah, well, at least waiting properly, okay? So, hey, and so I'm going to read one verse of scripture, and I'm going to get right on in question after what? Hey, what am I going to do first? You're right, we're going to pray. But I'm going to be coming from Isaiah 31, one verse of scripture. But as always, I will be quoting a number of other scriptures as we move along. All right? So, okay, right away, let's go to prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God of heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, Father God, we come with glad hearts this morning in my neighborhood. Glad, Lord God, for the rain that you're sending from heaven. Glad, Lord God, that our grounds are being watered, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for not only our grounds being watered, our natural ground, but God, the ground of our souls and our spirits, Lord God, that you're watering them with your word and your presence. Thank you, Lord, for how you've done that over and over and over. And, Lord God, you're yet doing it today. Thank you for these, your people that are on the other end of the line. Lord God, those that are far and near, even on foreign soil, those that will hear the broadcast today, those that will hear it later today, and those that will hear it much later, years even from now. God, I'm praying for those in the future, because you already know who they are. And so can everyone. I thank you, Lord God, for being our God. And then, Lord, I pray. Yes, I come lifting up everybody that's listening. I come lifting up those that are not listening. I come lifting up our nation, because that's what you gave us command to do. Pray for men everywhere, you told us in your word. And so, Father God, we're praying today for men everywhere in whatever position they're holding. We pray. Pray for those that are working on the outside in climate weather, whether it's rain or the sun, whatever it may be, I pray for them, Father God. And then, Lord, as we move on and school is resuming, some places it has already, Lord, we're praying for the protection of our schools. And even as you dropped it in our spirits yesterday, God, knowing that the answer to the problem is not in men standing there with guns or teachers with guns or anything. But God, we as praying individuals, we ask you, God, that your minister angels be dispatched to surround and protect the schools and protect the children. Oh, God, that they care less about a soul. Oh, God, they have no fear of God, no fear of God, no fear of God. Hallelujah. So therefore, they have no concern about life. So we lift them up, God, wherever they are, whoever they may be, whatever's causing them, Lord God, to be so full of stress, anxiety, and anger. Lord, we lift them up to you. We lift them up, God. You know their hearts. You know their minds. You know their backgrounds. You know they're coming and they're going. And so, God, we lift them up today. Thank you for healing individuals that's coming out the hospitals. Thank you for reducing the numbers of people in the hospitals. Thank you, Lord God, for making ways where it seemed to be no way, Lord God, opening doors for those that want to be employed and give them gainful employment, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And then, Father God, as we know, we can keep praying and praying, lifting up all the situations in the nation. But I'll stop at that and ask you once again to anoint these lips of clay that whatever and whoever's listening, Lord God, wherever they're listening, God, they'll be encouraged, they'll be strengthened, they'll receive revelation insight today. They'll know that they know that you have spoken to them and you've given them direction, revelation, and insight. In Jesus' name, I amen and amen. Woo, praise God. Praise the Lord. So once again, my topic today is waiting requires patience. And I'm going to read my verse of scripture, which is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, which is familiar, but it says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So today I am saying, making that, telling you and talking to you about the relationship of waiting and patience, okay? The definition of patience from the dictionary is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Woo! Let me read it again. Because you know what? I was looking back over some of my writings before, and I talked a lot about patience. And as I was reading, I said, when did I give the definition of patience? And I found that I never wrote down. I might have given it in my dialogue, but I didn't have it on my notes. So let me make sure that you hear it today. All right? Patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Whew, that's been a mouthful, isn't it? All by itself. My God. And then, you know, if I look over in the book of James, here we go with additional scriptures. James 1, you know, it says the Lord is patient with us. Yeah. Well, no, it says, first of all, that we are to let patience have its perfect work. Yeah, let patience have its perfect work, leaving us wanting for nothing. Hey, wanting for nothing. Let patience have its perfect work, leaving us wanting for nothing. So right away that lets us know from that scripture, lets us know that there is something to be accomplished when we manage to allow patience to work in our life. All right? Our scripture from Isaiah is giving us a command. It's giving us that command just to wait, all right? And then when we get to James, it says, now you have to let it happen. You have to allow this thing to happen. You have to allow delay. You have to allow when trouble comes not to get upset. You have to allow that the suffering that many times we go through will not throw us into a place of being angry and upset. In other words, we have to allow something to happen in our lives. We have to work with it. We have to agree with it, okay? We have to practice it. Because, again, it says patience is the capacity. Hey, capacity is something that we gain, something that grows, something that, you know, again, capacity, think about it. When you're packing up things, all right, and you see the writing on the box or whatever, say, this has the capacity. In other words, it has the ability, all right, to hold so much, all right? But it doesn't mean that you have to fill it up. But if we want to keep piling on and piling on and piling on, there's a certain point that, hey, it comes too much. But in the meantime, there's more that we can add stuff to it. There's a process of adding and adding and adding to bring it to fill, to its fill. The same thing with us in our souls and our spirits, okay? It says it's the capacity. Patience is the capacity. So that means, hey, throughout time and throughout experiences and in our lives and things that we encounter in life, all right, that ends up building up our capacity, end up building up our ability. Remember, that box or whatever, that container has the ability, has the ability to feel such a content. The same thing with us in our souls and our minds and our actions, okay? We build that capacity through a process of time. We build a capacity through experiences one after another. Maybe, hopefully, not all of them coming so fast, but hey, we see examples in the Bible where, hey, there are individuals' lives that, yes, things happen one after another. And actually, in our own lives, that happened, right? Yeah, some of you probably today feeling that way. Oh, I just got bad news yesterday. And before the evening was over, I got some more bad news. And in fact, you know, that's what it's been like in our last 2.5 years under this COVID situation. It's been one after another. I have a friend that they have such, in her church and all, they had such experiences and so many pinnacles, I call it, so many people that they had impacted that had come through them that, you know, now people are dying, sadly, please stay with me, okay? So there's hardly anybody that haven't been impacted in such a way. But the point is, every time I talk to her, sometimes every week, each week, there are 3 and 4 funerals that she's having to attend. And I said, oh, my God, the best I can do is pray for your strength because, hey, you can't do that for so long without being affected yourself, all right? But my point is, throughout this time in our lives and in times in our communities and time in our nation, hey, this is what's happening. One hardship after another, one problem after another, one dilemma after another. They're hitting so fast and so hard that, hey, if we haven't built up the capacity, we haven't built up that area of patience, we haven't learned how to wait on the Lord, okay, that we are going to fall under the pressure of it all. But listen, the other part also is what's going to happen is that, hey, we neglect to remember that we got to take care of ourselves. And we're trying to do all these things, all right? So listen, I've gotten started so far already, all right? But listen, let me say this to you. We know that there's a song that even say to us that plea from the Lord, okay? Be patient with me. Please be patient with me. You know, but the problem is that we are not patient with our own selves, all right? The Lord is patient. That's one of his attributes. He's long-suffering toward us. He waits on us, all right? In the book of Revelation, it says that he stands at the door and he knocks. What door? The door of our heart? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Most High, the one who knows what we need. Oh, my God. The one that has already provided what we need. That being his own death, burial and resurrection. But instead of trying to make us receive the antidote to much of our problems, to many of our problems, okay, which is our Savior inviting him into our lives, the Bible says he just stands and he knocks and he knocks. You say, how is he knocking? Well, through various situations, through his word, all right? Through these different things that saying, you can't make it by yourself, but there's help for you. And there's one that wants to step into your life and help you. So he just, so as time goes on, hopefully, the Bible talks about having a hard heart. And that's when we just let all the possibility, all the invitation, all the cry, and all the long-suffering and all the kindness that's extended to us that should make us surrender to the Lord, that we just keep bouncing and pushing it away. So he just keeps being kind to us. The Lord just keeps being nice to us. He's just being long-suffering toward us because he will not make us receive the antidote or receive him or receive the help that we need that he has so generously provided. So he just waits until our hearts become open that we say, come in, Lord Jesus. Come in and be Lord of my life. The Bible says that he just stands there at the door and knocks. And so that means, look, there's a demonstration of patience right there. So he's knocking. And why? Does he keep, he's waiting. That's why he keeps knocking. Because he's waiting, waiting for us. Waiting for us to surrender, waiting for us to invite him in. So, hey, this is, like I say, this is an example of patience. Can you imagine? Hey, I know you as parents, us as parents, yeah, we feel like, hey, we've done our best, we've given, and we say, you know, can't you see? Don't you know this is the right way to go? Don't you know this or don't you know that? Yeah, and so we have to learn patience as well. We have to learn to wait. Many a times we aren't patient and we want to get angry. We do get angry. Ah, yes, we do. We throw up our hands many times and say, I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that. But before we know it, we're back doing it anyway. Why? Because we love them and we want the best for them. So, look, our Savior does the same thing. Long-suffering, kindness toward us. Waiting, waiting, believing, trusting that, hey, one day they're going to open up. They're going to come to themselves, and they're going to come. They're going to come. And for us, that they're going to turn around. So, again, we've heard, you know, this song that I said, it says, Lord, be patient with me. Or the cry is really to others. Please be patient with me, but God is not through with me yet. And as I said already, that's a nice song. And sometimes we get it hung up in our minds and on our lips, and we're saying, please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Yes, we want to plead with other people to be patient with us, but there are times that we're not patient with ourselves. Somebody needs to swallow that one for a minute. Hang on to that one. Think about it. No, we get impatient with our own selves. We mess up something. We fail to remember something. We fail to do something right or do something in its right time or whatever. And so we fall back and we start blaming and we start calling ourselves names and we go into depression and all of that. Hey, the Bible, as just as the song is said, please be patient with me. We need to start learning. We need to learn to be patient with ourselves, which means that we need to learn to wait for change to come, okay? Wait for revelation. Wait for insight. Wait. Wait on the Lord, the scripture says. They that wait on him, all right? It says what there's something that's going to happen. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. There's a process. There's something that happens in the process of waiting, all right? That's why, again, James says, let learning. It's learning so much. It's learning that, hey, while delay may be there, are, there's something that's still taking place in the time of delay. And often it's for the answer to our prayers to be, to come to pass, you know? There are things all behind the scenes that God is working on and he's doing for us in order to bring our, the answer to our prayer to pass. So delay doesn't always mean trouble. Delay is not always bad, but we have to come to know that, and we have to come to believe that, and we have to come to be able to lift our heads from the immediate desire for immediate gratification to know that when it comes to pass, it will be the best. It would be the right to the Lord about it, because the scripture says they that wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. That means we've prayed, we've talked to him about the matter, we've made our requests, we've made our petition, we've done intercession and all of that, and it didn't come to pass yet. But so what are we going to do? We're going to start doubting God? No, just believe and trust in him that, hey, he's working on the matter. And the Bible says, he says, they that wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. You're waiting on the Lord, which means, okay, for us, our gratification is delayed because I want it now. That's human nature. Human nature wants it now. Human nature says it should have been done yesterday. But patience says, when we work through patience, it says to have his perfect work, which comes along with waiting, okay? And you know what I find so exciting is that in the midst of the praying, in the midst of us talking to the Lord, hey, about the matter, many times we change. And I find that so exciting when I look around, and not only myself, I'm right there. I can tell from firsthand experience, tell you from firsthand experience, but even people I've worked with, when I say, just pray. You know, ask the Lord about it. Talk to the Lord about it, okay? Whatever it is that you're wanting to be done now in your way, talk to the Lord about it. Give it over to him. Surrender it to him. And you know what happens? Usually we change. The way we are looking at the matter ends up changing. The way we are thinking about the situation ends up changing. So what? Let patience have a perfect work. It says, it's going to leave you wanting for nothing. In other words, you're going to have strength. You're going to learn how to work through delay. You're going to learn how to lift your head up to the hills from whence cometh your help. You're going to learn so much that mostly you're going to learn that things aren't always the way they appear to us. Woo! Yes, sometimes we're so confident that this is truth, that this is the way it is, that this is absolutely I know I have it. I know I see it the way it is. And hey, after we start praying and we start surrendering the situation to the Lord and we ask God to come in and open up our eyes, come on, stop pretending or stop thinking that you got it right. We got to stop thinking that the way we're seeing is the right way. Hey, maybe it's not. Jeremiah says, "For the desperately wicked." Yeah. So therefore, what we're seeing through our eyes, we're seeing, hey, this coming out of our heart. It's coming out of some idea we have, some teaching that we have, some core beliefs that we have, and that's the way we look at situations around us. Oh, somebody say, oh, I need to hear that one again. Well, I guess I'm getting a little deeper. But you need when I need to, okay? We have core beliefs locked up in us. What's core belief? Some belief that we've gotten along the way. Maybe it's from family, okay? Family history, family practices, religion, our school, okay? Recently I had a workshop and college educator was there. And when we were talking about abuse and how some things are taught, that this is the way you're supposed to respond, stay in the abusive situation. Do this and do that. Allow yourself to be abused. Allow yourself to be battered. Oh, my God. And she stepped up and she said, but that's what they teach in the schools. I said, oh, my God. Oh, my God, I hadn't heard that one. So if indeed you've been taught such things from an early age and you didn't know anything else, then that becomes part of your core belief, your basic belief, that thing that's lodged down in you from which you your behavior goes or your behavior comes forth, okay? It's based on the beliefs that you have down in you. Yes, yes, yes. So that's why in this thing said leave you wanting for nothing, let patience have its perfect work. That means that, hey, we have to dare to allow the Lord to take the covers off of whatever is going on, our behaviors, our reactions, our thoughts. Let the Lord, in other words, come on, humble ourselves, all right? Like Jesus said to the Pharisees, all right, if you think that you're well, how are you going to get some help? If you don't realize that you're in need of help, how are you going to get help? So my point is when we go in prayer, we have to be open and honest. We have to humble ourselves. So how many times the Bible talk about humble yourself? Humble yourself saying, I need help. I think I got it, but I may not have it, all right? Lord, search my heart. Reveal if there's any wicked way down in there. Search me. Let me know. Am I seeing this situation right? Am I hearing right? Am I hearing the way you would have me to hear? Am I seeing it the way you would have me to see it? In other words, becoming humble before the Lord, humbling our own selves. Yep, not my neighbor, not your husband, not your wife, not your sister or brother. But when we go in prayer, there's a time to go in there first and ask the Lord somewhere along the way, okay? Ask the Lord to search us, to clean us up, create in us a clean heart, and renew a right spirit within us. In other words, hey, God, hey, create in me a clean heart. That means according to your word, according to your dictates, the way you're seeing things. And God, then, hey, renew a right spirit that I can act right and react right, all right? So that means we're ready to surrender and let go of our own ideas, our own thoughts, because they might not have been right. But the point is we have to have the courage to allow God to take us deep, to allow God to take us down in there and take the covers off of whatever's down in us. Oh, my God. Yes, yes, yes. This is a word. This is a word. This is a word. Now, listen, when it says let patience, that means it's a process. That means it doesn't happen overnight, all right? It's not going to happen overnight. As I'm saying, revelation going to come, insight going to come, strength is going to come, learning you can trust the Lord. All that is going to come in the process of letting, okay? Letting patience have its perfect work. In other words, again, while we're waiting for the conclusion of the matter, while we're waiting for the Lord to do whatever it is we're asking him to do, all right, we have to stay in a station or a state of mind of not getting angry, and because many times when we get to abandon our process, we abandon the process, okay? Sometimes we prolong the process because we run out there and try to take care of things on our own. Yep. I'm in the word. How many times in the word, or like I like to talk to you about you. I'd like you to come on and sit down and think about yourself. Hey, because, hey, the word is written for our example, the Bible. The Bible is written for our example and for instruction. But if we sit down, the reason why it's written is to help us. To inspire us and encourage us not to go this way, or if we are going that way and we are experiencing what's written there, then this is the outcome. This is what can happen. So many of us are sitting here that we have our own testimonies, and that's what I'm saying to you. Sit down, take a look, and reflect on your own life. I'm telling you, I can reflect on mine, yes, 2 weeks ago and definitely 3 months ago. Why? Because in the process of time, more insight came, more revelation came, more understanding came. Yes, in the midst of tears, I'm not going to say it just rolled in so easily, No. There were times I've had to cry for days because I just couldn't see it. I thought surely I was right. I thought surely my actions were right. I thought surely my thoughts were right. I could not imagine what was wrong with the process I was going through. What was wrong on my behalf? I couldn't imagine. But I knew it didn't feel good. I knew it wasn't getting better. So when I humbled myself to listen, humbled myself and said, Lord, reveal it to me. Lord, help me to see this. Help me to understand this. Ah, it's like, whoa, see that? Whoa, I didn't understand that. My God, I never imagined that. You mean all these years I've been walking and thinking and teaching and doing this and that, thinking that the way I was processing it was correct. But in that instance, in the process of time, yes, in the process of time, I grew. Revelation came. I was able to abandon my old thought and then ask the Lord in and help me to embrace the right way of thinking, the proper way of reacting. Yeah. So I know there are some of you the same way, towards your husband, towards your wife. Yeah. Because we have a habit of trying to make people be like us. You get married. I heard a guy say on TV one time, he was pondering it. He goes, it's something. He says, people, you get married, you're drawn to a person, and they marry you based on who you were and who, you know, your character traits and everything. And then they get you, and then they want to change you. He was pondering it. He was really, really in a quarry, so to speak. In other words, he was confused because, hey, this doesn't seem right. This is what you drew me to you, and now you want to change me. And that's what we do. Yeah, some married couples, you need to hear this. Somebody listen to me right now. Yes, you're having so much upheaval in your marriage because you keep trying to change each other rather than learning each other. I'm not saying there should be some changes made. There shouldn't be. There are. But while we're busy fussing and fighting and thinking that we're right, oh, my way is right, yours is all wrong, all that they can be. All that God put in them. How can you get there when you're still trying to pull them over and get them to empty out what God put in them? My God. And not embrace the calling and the gifting that God put in them. No. Come on. It's time to grow up. It's time to get healed ourselves so that we can look at each other and see good in each other. Okay? And not think that the only way good can come out of the next person is by them being just like us. My God, my God. Woo. I have to take a break on that one, a quick break. All right? So, anyway, so patience, waiting requires patience. See it all around us. We see it in the natural, in the grocery stores, in the checkout lines, and on the highway, we know, hey, you know, you're saying, I don't understand what you're talking about. Yes, you do. If you've been on the highway at all, whether you're driving or you're a passenger or in the airport, oh, my God, everywhere we go today, there are examples of what it means to be able to wait, what it means to be patient everywhere. So maybe this is a lesson that the Lord is trying to get through to the nation also. Hey, I just thought about that one. Maybe, because I don't care where you go. Here, the airlines are bogged up. The airlines are delayed. Oh, my God. What you going to do? You paid your money, so you got to wait. They say you got to wait. So, hey, the more patient you are in it, in other words, not that delay. I've been in the airport at a time when all the delays came. And I tell you, people were acting up, at least one guy. I mean, he was acting up bad. It was so embarrassing. An adult carrying on. Well, you know what? I would rather the plane to be delayed to make sure that it's safe than to just take off to try to get me somewhere in my timing. And, hey, might not make it there at all because all the safety measures were not addressed. But some people can't see that. They're not letting patience have its perfect work. They're becoming angry. You know, they're not being able to just sit patiently, to wait, believing that God got this. God got me. Because you know what happens many times while we're pressing and pressing and forcing and forcing ourselves, many times the Lord is the one that's delaying, having us to delay because what? He knows what's down the road. And if we went flying down the road at that time, we might be the brunt of an accident, or we might be in the middle of it. We might have caused an accident. Learning to wait on the Lord. When it's time, nothing is going to be able to stop the situation from going forth. When the Lord says so, when the Lord says go, hey, nothing's going to be able to stop it. No. So in the meantime, hey, let's learn to be patient. Let's learn to wait. Let's learn, to not get angry. Let's learn to lift our eyes from ourselves, okay, and from what we want and my idea and what my thoughts are. Come on. Let's learn. Let's learn to listen more. Let's move on down here. Let's learn to listen. Hey, that takes patience. That takes patience. Being able to listen. Because everybody don't talk fast like to get their words out. Some people have been so battered and so criticized that they want to talk, but they're afraid to talk. And then they open their mouth to start talking, and then we add to their problems that they're already having because they say, oh, I have time for this. I don't have time for you. You can't go on and say what you need to say. I don't have time. I got to go. Hey, how about just taking a seat? How about just sitting down and letting that person express themselves? No matter how long it takes, give them that freedom. Give them that floor. Give them that feeling that somebody cares enough to hear what I got to say. That's patience. Patience. It takes patience for that. Don't get angry with them because they stutter. Don't get angry with them, my God, because they don't put the words together like we put them together or like you feel they should put them together. Let's learn to just sit. Waiting means just relaxing. Waiting means, okay, take a seat, be quiet, listen, all right? So that's another one. And so learning to listen. And we have learned, I know you have, listening helps people be delivered. So we always talk about we want to do the work of the Lord. And one of the simple things is to sit and listen. One of the simple things is to be patient, to be kind and be patient with people, all right? Listening, because you know, again, at this time in our lives, people have been shut up. They've been isolated. They've been to themselves, all right? Now they need somebody to listen to them. They want to talk. They want to express themselves. And so, hey, listening is a major trait and a major gift, and it's a gift to somebody, to extend to somebody. I had somebody to text me recently, and it was a rather long text. And when it got toward the end, they apologized. They said, oh, I apologize for being so long with this text, but I'm still of the old school of writing letters and all. And I'm saying, why would they apologize? I'm enjoying this text. But, again, that tells you right there, it told me, all right, that, yes, somebody along the line has criticized them, all right? So they felt like they needed to apologize to me because they don't know me. They had only met me once or twice, and so they wanted to give me the ins and outs and all of what was going on. And at the end, though, they had to apologize. And I returned it. I said, you don't have to apologize. I was enjoying the communication. In other words, she was communicating. She was expressing a little bit of this that's going on in her life and a little bit of that was going on in her life because she needed to share it. And listen, I was enjoying it because I was feeling that I was invited into her life. So though we were not having a conversation, so to speak, word to word or verbal, we were communicating. And this is what's going on with so many people, all right? They're coming out now, all right? They've been shut up for so long. And now people need to communicate. They want to talk. They want to share experiences. Some of them went on hold. Remember how abrupt we went on hold when COVID came on? It was like, phew, shut things down right now, right now. People were left in the middle of some actions and some decisions and some many things, okay? So many things they were left in the middle of. It was just shut up abruptly. And so now people are beginning to come out of whatever and begin to connect with other people again. And so everybody got a story. Everybody want to tell something. Everybody want to share something. Some people are direct with their sharing and some are not. But there are times that we need to just listen. And one of the things we got to learn to do is not think that we got to solve a problem. The fact that they don't have anybody to listen to them is a problem. So just by listening, that's the answer right there. It's not to jump in and try to circumvent what they're talking about, because we're in a hurry. We don't want to wait. We don't have the patience for them to finish telling us. So we jump right in there and offer solutions. But we're not demonstrating patience, and we hadn't learned to wait. Just wait. Let them talk. Let them express themselves. We don't have to answer with a solution. That is the solution, sometimes just being able to listen. All right? So let me move on here. I'm thinking it's got to be God, because I'm far away from what I started out with, praise God, but I'm still in on the subject, okay? So I think I told you on one of my other broadcasts, even for myself, I'm talking about me so much. I've learned so much. I've learned about this patience. I've learned to demonstrate, okay, practice, standing back and waiting. There's a relationship. You got the patience, that means you're going to be slow to move, slow to talk, slow setting people off. And sometimes just taking a seat to listen. Yes, sirree, I'm telling you. So I know I told you guys about this before, how I bought these bulbs, these elephant ears bulbs. That's a plant. It's a plant. I guess it's more tropical, but you know how it is. You manage to do them even in non-tropical climates, all right? And so I put them in the pot. And I waited and I waited and I waited, and I didn't get anything. And then I was ready to dump the pot out, thinking, oh, I messed up. And then I managed to pick up the instructions, and I read there, and it says, hey, it's germinate. 10 weeks and more to germinate. I said, oh, my God. No wonder I didn't have the patience to wait for that. I'm very impatient. I love the yard, but I can tell you, as it said, talks about plant the seed and digging it up. That's me. If it doesn't come up forth right away, I'm ready to dig it up, and therefore I get no plants, all right? So that's what was going on here. But when I read the instructions, I said, oh, I might as well just wait a little bit longer. So sure enough, I waited, and eventually that plant jumped through the soil, and I ended up putting it in the yard, and oh, what a beautiful plant I ended up getting. Well, I decided to go back again and do it this year. Well, guess what? Same thing, but this time I had it in mind. I got to wait. I'm going to wait. I marked down the date and everything that I put it in the ground. Well, one came forth a little bit earlier in the yard. I pray that it's still surviving and this rain is going to help it. But then I gave up on the other two. I was about to give up, but it's been so hot that they just happened to still be sitting in the pot. And I went and looked at the pot. Guess what? Over on the side of one of the pots, one of the other bulbs had popped through. Now, this is long, but that was May, June, July. We're in August. Oh, my God. There we are all those weeks, and it popped through. And then the florist had already told me, said it takes a long time for them to come through. But once they come through, oh, they grow so fast, certainly. You should see the height of that plant now when it only came through about 3 weeks ago, let's say 2 full weeks ago, and now it's so big already. So that's the point. of being able to wait in all these areas of our lives, being patiently waiting. Because guess what? When I dumped that plant out that pot, all right, only so much was on the top, but all underneath was root bound already. The pot was root, the roots all over. Yes, I said, my God. So listen, so before the plant comes through the ground, it was growing down. Roots were being accumulated down there. And I tell you, that's the word. So again, let patience have a perfect work. While we're waiting, our roots of faith are going deep. Our roots, because what it says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. So while we're waiting on the Lord, he doesn't waste time. Hey, our roots of faith, our roots of confidence, roots of confidence are going deep within the word, going deep within in the things of God, going deep in our experiences with God. Yes, yes, yes. Think about it. You've seen a plant that was root bound? Yes. Oh, my God. And so that's it. Our roots of faith are growing deep while we're waiting. So why not let patience have a perfect work? Why not be able to handle the delays and everything in life without getting angry? That when trouble comes, that we look to the Lord. We just cast it on the Lord. He says, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. All right? That's how we go through that. Instead of when suffering comes and we want to get angry and all upset, hey, let's just take it to the Lord. And that will help us go through it, walk through it, wait through it. Oh, my God. Sometimes just sit on the sideline and wait till Lord gives us direction again. But in the meantime, we're trusting God. We're praising him. We're magnifying his name. We're studying his word. We're meditating on his word. And we're waiting on him so that in the end, we'll have what we wanted and we'll have it even more so, all right, more confidently so. Yeah, we got our children. There's so many things today. We got to wait on them. I'm reminded of the young man, the prodigal son, as we call him in the scriptures, that the one that said to his father, give me my inheritance, okay? And the father gave it to him long before time, and what didn't even really belong to him, but the father was generous and gave it to him because he kept saying, I want it, I want it. He wanted to go on his own. He thought that he knew life and thought that life would be better away from his home. And of course, the scripture don't tell us everything about what else was going on in the home. But let's go there for a minute, based on our own lives. Hey, we're probably some of those that, hey, we're getting all kind of, I'm not happy here. Oh, I can do better here. You're old-fashioned. You're this. You don't understand. You know, all those things that we hear many times, many of us hear from our children, okay? And so I can imagine much of that was going on in that home. So for that father, the founder, give it to him, I can imagine that he just threw his hands up and said, life will teach him. Let me just go on and give this to him and let life teach him. But in the meantime, he let him go. But that didn't mean he let him physically go. But that didn't mean he let him go completely, because he was home waiting and praying and expecting God to bring him back. And sure enough, one day after he got out there and spent everything that he had, all right, and then now abandoning his own culture, doing things that far different than he had ever been taught, his core beliefs were that he was going there, right? That the Bible says he came to himself while he was there, while he was in the midst of a pig pen, okay, which is different than his culture. They don't even believe in the pigs and the hogs that's there. And their food even started looking good for him. Oh, my God. So he was down. He was down. He was down. He had sunk low. Life was teaching him. So the Bible says that he came to himself. In other words, the darkness, that being he had in his eye, and all the things he had criticized his father for, and all those other things that he thought he knew better, and he thought he was right, and his friends were going to stick with him and everything. He came to himself. He realized that, hey, friends will stick with you as long as you got money. of something to offer. He came to step to realize that, hey, when you don't have anything, and those that promise to be with you, they will leave you, all right? But when he came to himself, he came to realize, hey, the Bible says mom and dad don't stick. The Lord will stick with you longer than your mom and your dad. But then he came to realize that dad was a good man. Dad did well even for his servants. Servants were receiving better treatment than he was out there with his so-called friends, the way they had treated him and everything. Then certainly, if I go home without that high-mindedness, without criticizing him, humble and surrender, he said, hey, I'll do better than being out here. So the prodigal, he came home. He came home. So that's the word for somebody. I'm saying, sometimes we got to let them go. We got to let them go. We got to let them go and trust God. Trust God. We keep praying. We keep covering them under the blood of Jesus. We keep calling on the ministered angels to surround them and protect them. We keep believing God. So our faith has grown so, trust our faith has grown so, that we allow the process to work, the process of them discovering whether what they thought was right was right, or whether they thought their friends were not their friends. We have to allow the process to work. It's not always going to come from our lecture. It's not always going to come from what we're saying. It's not going to come from either saying, look at my life. Not always. Sometimes we got to just let them go. And so in the meantime, what? In the meantime, not only you're praying for them, you're praying for you. God, give me the strength here. Give me the courage to do what I need to do. Give me the strength, Lord God, the ability to wait, the long suffering. Help me, Lord, that your characteristics begin to show up in me. That long life, okay? Waiting patiently. Long suffering, all right? That's what we have to do many times, okay? So why? Because waiting requires patience. So sometimes we got to be patient enough to allow things to happen and things to go and things for the experience, even for our children, our loved ones. Oh, it hurts. Believe me, Dr. Wilder knows it hurts till we really manage to get in the Word of God and let patience have its perfect work. Perfect work. Strength. Courage. Confidence, all that, that's perfect work. That's what's going to come out of it. And therefore, we can roll it over to the next situation and the next situation. Because what? Because we've allowed patience to have its perfect work, allowed patience to do what it needs to do, allowed the delay, learn from the delay, embrace what was coming from the delay. Because we built up that capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, suffering without getting angry or upset. Yes. So therefore, we're able to work right through those situations and use them time and time again. Scripture once again says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. That's Psalm 27 and 14. And he goes on to say, wait, I say, on the Lord. So who are we waiting on? Our scripture text says those who wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord in the waiting, in the allowing patience to work during this delay time, praise God, that such is happening. We're gaining courage. We're gaining strength. Oh, our hearts are being built up. And then Psalms 37 and 7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself. Let me read it again, because there's that relationship. Waiting requires patience. Psalms 37 and 7, it says, rest, rest. That's the wait. Rest, rest in the Lord. That's confidence. That's assurance. And wait. Rest and wait. I make them one and the same, because to me, it's just, and I'm going over here, and I'm going to wait. I'm going to rest myself. But it's saying, hey, it's saying, and. So, all right. The point is, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. We're waiting on the Lord. Your petitions today, those hard things that you have before the Lord today. First of all, let's humble ourselves before the Lord and let him show us where we're getting off track and how we're making the situation work because of our anger, because our in a capacity, lack of capacity, okay, to accept or delay or to tolerate delay, all right? And all those things. We're angry. We're upset. Hey, let's come on. Let's give it to the Lord. Let's walk over and bend down or sit down or whatever and surrender it to the Lord and realize that the reason why we're angry and all of these things, okay, is because we're trying to do it ourselves. We want it in our time. My gratification is being delayed. Think about full gratification. If we can wait on the Lord, because scripture says we'll be wanting for nothing. We won't come up lacking for anything. We won't come up short of anything. Our hearts will be strengthened. Hey, we'll gain courage. We'll gain insight. And definitely, God will answer prayer. He's going to answer. He's going to answer. All right? And many times, again, self-awareness, mostly self-awareness. I mean, that is exciting. The more we can become aware of who we are, aware of ours, and be ready to abandon things that are not right, abandon those old ideas, those old habits, those old beliefs. Hey, they probably weren't yours in the first place. They came from somebody else that was imposed on you. Let God reveal the root of the matter. Let God reveal it. All right? So that's my word for you today, and I thank you so much for being with me. This has been Dr. Annie B. Wilder on the Dr. Annie B. Wilder Show, saying please come on, come on, come on, and be with me again as I come forth. And in the meantime, text me or email me at drannibwilder@gmail.com. That's DRANNIE, the letter B, WILDER @gmail.com. So until the next time that I meet you in this place, blessings, blessings, blessings.